Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
If you like conspiracy theories, it's a great time certainly to be alive, particularly if you enjoy conspiracy theories and American politics together. There are so many crazy theories floating around now after, of course, the assassination attempt and Biden's five-day disappearance as well. In light of this, we decided it would be a good time to bring back some of those, someone who makes a living, and a great living at that, by the way, out of conspiracy theories. Those Conspiracy Guys is a comedy, history and true crime podcast based in Ireland and deals with everything from out there conspiracy theories like aliens, time travel, ancient civilizations. God, I love the time travel ones. Ancient civilizations. I wish it was true. To the more probable conspiracies like political and financial corruption. Started back in 2014 by the host Gordo, it has topped the charts in the US, the UK and Ireland as well, and also 100 other countries worldwide with over 50 million downloads. It does really, really well. So here to tell us all about the podcast and share some of those theories with us is the host Gordon Rochford, better known to most people as Gordo. Gordo, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing? I'm coming through loud and clear. The reception is hard to get through the bunker walls here, you know.
They're keeping you down there, are they, to make sure you don't let us all know the truth?
Yeah, it's a Joseph Fritzl situation. No, I'm voluntarily hiding away. So you never know when the bomb might drop, you know.
Yeah. Okay, Gordon, let's kick off with, I suppose, the first thing. I mean, I'm a bit of a Trump fan. I don't hide it. You know, the assassination attempt is, you know, littered with all sorts of problems and the failures by the Secret Service, et cetera, et cetera. We'll come to Joe Biden disappearing in a minute. But I mean, that particular assassination attempt, you know, because we're living in a world where there's so many people now with cameras and so much information. Wasn't like that in the old JFK days. We only had kind of one or two images and that was about it. So what kind of theories are out there now at the moment?
Well, it varies from, like, you know, what political side you take. It's all gone very binary now, as you know yourself. Like, people are at each other's throats, and I guess Irish politics are getting a little bit more interesting in the last while, but up until then all we had was American drama, and it's Republicans versus Democrats, and, like, you know, Trump versus whoever. So, like, now it's come to a time where the libs, the liberal left.
I've heard the hawk tooey a few times in the last couple of weeks. Yeah,
good for you. So it's just like they're coming out now saying, like, oh, this is a conspiracy theory. And the minute it involves Trump, they're able to, like, drum up some kind of, oh, he's in Putin's pocket and he's blah, blah, blah. And then the conspiracy theories about their own people or their own allegiances. Pointing out logical fallacies in their belief system. It's like, no, that's the thing. You know, there's a lot of confirmation bias. So, like, when you get a bunch of people who don't believe in any conspiracy theories at all now saying Trump orchestrated that whole event as a sympathy move to, I guess, embolden his base, who are all, like, gun nuts, apparently, that he would fake or stage an assassination and have a fella who's so accurate that he's able to just clip his ear, if indeed his ear was clipped, and it wasn't just like
a shard.
WWS, where you have a little blade hidden under your, you know, hidden under your sleeve, and you cut your own head, and you're like, oh my God!
Yeah.
And he does have form with the wrestling as well, so I mean, maybe that's what he got it off.
I mean, isn't it bizarre that people would think that you would fake your own assassination, and sadly, obviously, one spectator was killed as well, and two others badly injured. But isn't it bizarre that somebody would think that you could actually risk your own life to be more popular? Well, I'm sure people have done it throughout history, by the way, but I'm just saying. But isn't it bizarre to think that people would come up with that theory, where the most likely or the more likely conspiracy would be, you know, oh, the government are in on this, or Biden is in on this, and, you know, they purposely had a lax Secret Service on the day who kind of knew what was going to go down but said nothing.
What happens a lot of the time now, they're going to be a small bit esoteric in the answer, because I can go specific and we can talk about Crooks, who's the supposed shooter, and his links to the, I guess, multi-trillion dollar
BlackRock investment. BlackRock. Yeah.
Mm. And he's, you know, he's in the ads for BlackRock. There was a picture came out there yesterday where he's, like, in the company of the CEO of BlackRock, and he has a rifle, and people are like, it's AI, and it's run through these apps. They're like, no, it's totally real. Like, you can get absolutely smothered in, I don't know how you, if I can say bullshit. Can I say bullshit?
Yeah, you can. Radio. Yeah.
You can get absolutely lathered in bullshit if you want to find it. What I tend to do with my show and all these theories and all this massive amount of information is I would wait a while first anyway. So I'm not like a news guy. You're not looking to me for like what happened yesterday. I'm looking at a kind of a medium to longer scope. But it also gives a better view because it's able, you're able to take in other events and other stuff that happened like long, long ago. That's why I say the show is like a history show rather than like a conspiracy, you know, tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
Alternative news, you know. So like if you look at other assassination attempts or you look at other operations by the American government, let's say the deep state or the CIA straight up like messing in other countries' elections and assassinating other
Let's talk about that then. Let's talk about JFK, yeah. Right? So we can talk about Reagan as well, the assassination attempt on him. But JFK, right? You know, have we got finality to that yet? Because some people suggest there is finality. Absolutely. You know, Harvey Oswald didn't do it on his own. It was the CIA were involved. That's why they popped him off, get rid of the patsy. You know, I mean, do we have finality on that? Because people suggest that there is finality on that. Is there? Do we know exactly what happened?
There are people that have admitted in government that, yeah, there was something to do with, you know, CIA slash FBI slash, I guess, contracted assassin work, you know, at that time. There have been documents released. There was supposed to be two big dumps, one in 2017 and one in at the start of 2020, and then something happened in 2020. But, like, documents were released, and there was other ones redacted for a further 25 years. At the time, there was one redacted for 75 years. You know, there's no truly like smoking gun that you can find to put a name on somebody. But people that have been kind of accused would be someone like Woody Harrelson, the Hollywood actor, his father.
I've heard that mentioned. Yeah, I've heard his name mentioned. All right, yeah.
He's one of the three tramps, if you're familiar with the JFK kind of lore. There's a picture of three lads that were let out under a bridge. And he's one of them. And then they interviewed him in jail in like 1989, and he basically admitted to it. And he said, like, this is what we did, you know. There's a lot of old CIA dudes popping their clogs, sitting up in the hospice, and they're like, I've got the secret to tell. Bring a pad and a paper. And they're telling, like, one lad confessed to being the fella who gave Marilyn Monroe the fatal injection of barbiturates in her legs and feet that killed her, you know. And he was like, you know, Jack and Bobby needed are gone, as well as some people in the Italian mafia, you know. So, like, these lads, this information is coming out, but there's no definitive answer on JFK, but there are people who are kind of admitting, like, yeah.
Yeah, so what does Gordo think? Do you think it was an inside job, I assume?
Oh, I think, absolutely. It was, and it even goes to the higher, like, a higher power that's still alive, you know. The Bush family definitely had something to do with it. The Texas oil conglomerates that were down there, they had a meeting on the day of the shooting, and JFK came from that meeting where he was basically going, like, I'm going to take this oil and kind of socialize it into the U.S. system, right? Mm. So I don't know if you know much about what's going on with oil with America. So, like, they've sold all their reserves for cash money. So if, like, if the shit goes down, America are kind of screwed for
isn't that why Trump, one of his policies, by the way, is drill, baby, drill. So he obviously wants more oil.
But half of all America's oil comes from Texas, and they don't really tell you that. There's kind of like this overarching myth that, like, the Saudi Arabians or the lads in the Middle East, the UAE, are providing oil at a certain price, and they're hiking up the price of the barrels. That was kind of the narrative that always was. Mm-hmm. They hike up the price. Oil, I don't think, is like a finite resource. They say that, you know, there was a Rockefeller kind of media propaganda at the turn of the 20th century when cars started to be rolled out. And Henry Ford, who funded the Nazis, by the way, as well as Rockefeller, brought out this car, and it could be powered by, like, vegetable oil or, you know, canola oil or other sorts of organics. And Rockefeller said, no, we'll use, like, you know, but this petroleum, and we'll make it like fake scarce so we can control the price of it. And there's this theory called the abiotic oil theory, where oil kind of replenishes itself. And there's been wells that were dry in Texas 50, 60 years ago that have gone back to pulling oil out of it again. But Niall, you're not allowed to talk about that.
No.
The abiotic oil theory was suggested as an anti-American propaganda by the Nazis in the 30s and 40s. They're saying, like, they are keeping the oil and making you pay too much for it, you silly Americans. Why are you doing this? And then now you can't question the oil business because then you're literally a Nazi. Right. So there's all these, like,
I'm intrigued by all of this, and I know people who listen to your podcast are intrigued by it as well. And let's go to some of the other ones, I suppose the more popular ones. Now, you know, you've got things like Charles Manson and the myth of the Manson family. I mean, you've covered that extensively, the Manson family. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, what was the... I mean, there was a suggestion that there was CIA involvement in that as well, because Charles Manson obviously was recruiting young people, you know, to be dependent, I suppose, on him. But you were saying it's more dependent about political disclosure. Or discourse, is it?
Yeah, there was a guy, Tom O'Neill, wrote a book called Chaos, and he spent 10 years writing and investigating it, but there was other people suggesting this. You know, I'm sure you've heard of people like Timothy Leary, who was a very famous proponent of LSD, turn on, tune in, drop out.
Remember that, yeah. Turn on, tune in, drop out. Remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and he's sitting around with beads and a kind of a flannel shirt with a peace sign and his legs crossed. Trupping balls with a load of good looking co-eds and going like, this is the life of me, good old Timmy. And so yeah, they were just pumping all the kids full of acid and seeing what it would do. This is after like 10 years of clandestine government experiments under very real and public programs like MK Ultra, which I'm sure you've heard of in talking about the Trump assassin, or would be assassin. He was under like MK Ultra mind control, apparently. There's other MK Ultra shooters, the Batman cinema shooting.
Yeah.
Like that guy was apparently he was in college and he was part of a psychology course and he was voluntarily taking psychoactive drugs and being put through these hypnotic.
There is a pattern there. I remember reading this before. You know, the school shooters. There was a pattern that a lot of them had been on Ritalin at the time.
There was a lot of them on the school shooters that you were talking about, the Columbine shooters.
Yeah,
they were on antidepressants, so they were on like Lexapro and were on Wellbutrin and stuff like that, which are like SSRIs.
Yeah,
it wasn't Ritalin or ADHD meds. It was SSRIs, so serotonin reuptake inhibitors.
Yeah,
and basically just made them like feel nothing. So they were, you know, but Columbine is one of the first of those. But the pollution of the youth in the 60s, they wanted the hippie movement to stop because they were protesting against the war. And there was a bunch of people getting educated probably for the first time in the middle and lower classes. And they just basically wanted to like devalue them socially by making them hippies and getting them all on drugs. And Charles Manson purportedly worked for the government, but there was loads of people around him that definitely did work for the government, loads of agents. And he was only a squeak away from being super famous, Niall. Like he was hanging out with the Beach Boys and recording songs, and like he was in high society. And just at the last minute, they did a load of murders.
Well, that's normally what happens, isn't it? Yeah, it seems to be. The same thing happened to Jeffrey Epstein as well. You know, I mean, obviously hanging out with a super famous, and at the last minute, we figure out he's a paedophile, and then he disappears off the face of the planet because he has too much information. But I mean. Conspiracy theories have kind of got people into a lot of trouble too. Of course, Alex Jones is no stranger to trouble. I mean, he was sued, you know, for $1 billion over his constant, you know, promotion of the kind of his conspiracy in relation to the Sandy Hook shooting, which a lot of young people died, children died. I mean, that sometimes they can be insensitive, some of these conspiracies.
Well, it depends on whose sensibilities or sensitivities that you're offending. And if people have their like values deeply rooted in a political ideology, be it wrong or right, be it moral or not. Like, you know, if you lived somewhere in the Middle East somewhere and, your wife was an adulteress, it'd be perfectly fine to bury her in a hole in the ground and leave her head sticking out and fire rocks at it. Like, that's totally, you know, acceptable. But to us, that's barbaric. It's a sliding scale of acceptability. So what people get offended about now would be like, you know, stuff that comedians would have joked about 10 years ago and probably will again in 10 years' time, as we've seen from stuff from the 90s. Like, I think that Sandy Hook definitely has some questions around it. But the fact that Alex Jones was made such a pariah, and because he was so famous and like they really held his feet to the fire over everything he said, he was going on about Noah Posner was the particular child
that's right, yeah.
Who died at Sandy Hook, apparently, allegedly. But he was, Alex Jones went pretty hard after the Posner family and after a few of the different parents.
But isn't that the point that I'm making? Sometimes they can go that kind of step too far. You know what I mean? I mean, okay, we get what you believe in. We understand what you believe in. We may not agree with you. We may agree with you, whatever. Yeah. But then they go too far.
But it goes the other way around as well. Like, remember with the Madeleine McCann case? Like, that was crazy. And, you know, people, the paparazzi following Jerry and Kate around the place going, like, you killed your daughter, you killed your daughter. And people were like, that's terrible. You should never do that. And then on the other side of it, there was a woman that was harassing them. And what was her name?
I remember the one you were talking about. Yep.
And she got doorstepped by a Sky News reporter and got outed on television as a harasser. And then 2 days later, she went and booked two nights in a hotel room and got into the hotel room and killed herself because she was like so embarrassed or ashamed of what she'd done or being outed like by Sky News or whatever. And they thought it was perfectly fine to go and kind of cancel her publicly by sneaking up to her doorstep with a television, live television camera. Little did they know that she's, you know.
I didn't know she killed herself. I remember that Sky News when they doorstepped her that time because she had been harassing Kate and Jerry. Yeah. Yeah.
Sleepy Face, I think, was her Twitter handle. And she was just asking Kate and Jerry, well, what are you doing? Admit it. What did you do? What did you do? And it's harassment, of course. But like the other way around, then you're like, oh, well, you know. And a lot of people are totally justified in going like, yeah, well, she deserved it. And you're like, oh, my God, it's a life, you know. The same as with Destiny. I don't know if you saw that kind of debacle. There's a YouTube commentator called Destiny.
Destiny, I've seen that, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And he was talking about Donald Trump, yeah.
Yeah, and he just basically said, like, anyone who goes to a thing like that and gets shot and gets killed kind of deserves it. And he got his arse spanked on many a YouTube channel, including Piers Morgan.
Piers Morgan, yeah.
Who took him to task on it. And he's lost, like, millions of followers. He might be in the toilet because of his comments.
Well, yeah, but you have to... When you're in a position where you have influence, I suppose, which Destiny would, and you make a comment like that, I suppose you have to be somewhat responsible for what you say, don't you?
Especially if it calls for violence. Like, he's basically going, your life is less valuable because of your beliefs.
Mm.
And, like, that's dehumanizing. That's what the Nazis did to the Jews. That's what, you know, the Hutus did to the Tutsis. Like, these are proven things to dehumanize people. It makes it easier to kill them or whatever. Okay. And it would incite violence if people go to Trump rallies. Like, who else is going to get shot? Like, what's going to happen next, Niall?
Okay, well, look, let's go to a few other ones. Princess Diana, of course. Everybody kind of knows this one at this stage. There was numerous theories.
The worst mother-in-law story of all time.
Absolutely. So there's numerous stories that the Queen was responsible. She ordered the whole thing. The MI5, of course, you know, were responsible. That the paparazzi that chased her.
One was driving a white Uno in Paris that night, Niall. And we can talk about her now with no fear of defamation.
She's dead. Yeah. I mean, but in saying that, is there any possibility at all that Dodi Fayed and Lady Diana were killed, you know, intentionally? I mean, is that plausible? I mean, we all seen it. It kind of looked like an accident.
There's three kind of stories to it. And I know we're you know, tight time. I won't take them long. But the first story is like tragic accident. Driving too fast. Henri Paul was, you know, on the sauce. They went down through the Pont Alma tunnel in Paris. There was a little dip in the road. Wheels came off the road, hit the road at a weird angle. Jump bang into the 13th pillar. Everyone's dead, apart from Henri Paul, who got a new face. And or the security guard in the passenger seat.
He was badly damaged. Yeah. And by the way, he's never been seen since. I've never heard anybody interview him or anything since. But go on, yeah.
He did one interview, and he's like, and I don't want to talk about it no more. Don't come near me.
Yeah.
So like that, you know. That's one thing. If they were blaming the paparazzi because the paparazzi were flying around on motorbikes and cars and stuff like that, and they were, you know, harassing them, forcing them to drive too fast. But no, you know, no laws were changed. Nobody was chastised. There was no like case brought against them for like manslaughter or involuntary manslaughter or anything like that, which you would do, Niall, if you were driving on a car and you were, you know, aggressive on the motorway and someone had to move to get out of your way and then they flipped the car inside. Like somebody's gonna get in trouble for that, right? And then the mad wild conspiracy theory is that Dodi and Diana were like, we're never going to have a moment's peace. They faked their death and like went off and, you know, got new identities and new faces and moved away, okay, far, far away.
That sounds plausible.
That's a crazy one.
Yeah, that's the Michael Jackson one. But the other, the main conspiracy theory was, allegedly, and maybe you correct me if I'm wrong on this, that she was pregnant for his baby, and the last thing the royal family needed was a Muslim baby. So isn't that one of the main kind of theories that was out there at the time?
And the facts that support that theory particularly are, after the crash, now, there's like, I have a 7-hour episode on every single intimate detail of everything that happened all through her whole life, how her and Charles met, like the whole scenario is kind of yucky from start to finish, right? But when they crashed the car, she was still alive in the back of the car, and an ambulance came and took her. And they took her out of the back of the car, put her in the back of the ambulance, and it was a 7-minute drive to the hospital, and they took 1 hour and 45 minutes. And the reason they said they were going so slow is because if they had sped up, something would have changed her blood pressure and she would have died, right? Mm-hmm. And it turns out that when the royals went to collect her body in the following days from that Paris hospital, they found out that her uterus and all her bits of business were all removed.
What?
All gone.
Is that true?
The whole business, all gone, scraped out, bleached and cleaned, and it's against royal protocol. You're not supposed to touch the body of a royal or do any autopsies or anything like that. And they went in and did all that stuff. So what they think is that they did that in the back of the ambulance. The agents of chaos did that to her in the 1 hour and 45 minutes, and then dropped her off at the hospital, and then she died very soon after that.
Now, is that in relation to those bits?
That's true.
The bits being removed.
That's a fact, yeah.
Oh, that's a fact. Okay, that's not just some sort of part of the conspiracy theory. But
no,
they added that into the conspiracy theory because it gives the conspiracy theory credibility, I suppose.
The conspiracy of being pregnant with the alpha
Yeah.
Is she didn't want, because, you know, he'd ruin all the family pictures. You know?
Yeah. What was the hospital?
America went to Canada. Like,
yeah, true. What was the hospital's explanation, or did they have an explanation for doing that?
They didn't have one. It was just like, that's the, you know, oh, whoops.
What's unusual about it?
We didn't keep it either. We threw it out. Oh, sorry about that. Like, it was very, you know, swept over, brushed over. But the maddest thing is the component parts of, like, the night that it happened and everybody who was included, and the investigation into this white Fiat Uno is absolute. Like, now, to try and find a white Fiat Uno in Paris in, like, 1997, a specific one, it's like a needle in a haystack.
Right. Yeah, it'd be like saying it was a Model X Tesla somewhere in the world. There's so many of the things that are driving around on their own at the moment. Okay.
But they pulled the paint particles out of the back of the Mercedes, and they found it, they matched it to this, and they found three cars that would have that exact type of special paint, right? And one guy, the guy who is a paparazzo, who was there that night, who was taking pictures outside the hotel, and they think he got in his car and drove after them, and he may have clipped the back of the car, which caused it to spin. He was found in his car, shot twice in the back of the head. And then he was locked in the car and the keys were thrown out in the field. And then the car was set on fire and he was burnt inside of it. And the French court or the Parisian court ruled it a suicide.
How do you take your own life and get rid of the keys at the same time and lock yourself in from the outside? That doesn't make enough
exactly.
sense.
And then set the car on fire, shoot yourself twice in the back of the head just to make sure. So that lad got clipped pretty professionally and pretty, you know, definitively.
Okay.
And it was his car that matched, you know. Very weird story.
Okay, let me come to, I suppose, one of the most popular conspiracy theories of all. We've got about 10 minutes and there's another few I want to get to. But one of the most popular conspiracy theories in the world is the moon landing. And it's the one that intrigues me the most, because I keep watching documentaries. I'm going down rabbit holes and I keep watching documentaries, and one will, you know, debunk everything that I thought in the last documentary. So do you think it was possible, and was it possible, and did it happen, that this little thing landed on the moon, you know, way back in the late 1960s when we could barely make a phone call? You know what I mean? So was it actually possible? And do you think it did happen, or do you really believe it was a Stanley Kubrick production?
Well, personally, you know, we did the show way back in, I think, 2015. The show's going, like, you know, 10 years now this September. And some of the things I've said in the past, I've changed my mind on after, you know, time is...
Yeah, you're allowed to do that.
Exactly. So at the time, and I know the reason why, I went through all the evidence and kind of went, Jesus, that can't be right. But at the end, we do a section called Off the Fence, where we put our own personal kind of opinions based on all the evidence, and it's, you know, we litigate the case in conversation. And I personally said, yeah, I think we must have landed on the moon. And I know now that's because if we didn't, the world is upside down. Like, it's so crazy that that was faked. And I had to believe at the time. Like, I just couldn't say, yeah, we faked it. Since I absolutely think that it was faked, one particular piece of information is, like, the construction out of, like, very, very thin aluminium to try and get through what's called the Van Allen belts, which are, too large.
That was my thinking, because I stood beside the Space Shuttle Challenger, right? It's in Florida, yeah. Right? And I stood beside...
Like a Lego piece.
Yeah, and they have all these tiles. And I remember that at the time how much trouble and effort they went to you know, sorting out these tiles for re-entry so it didn't, you know, heat up and burn up. And I'm thinking, how did they do that back in the 60s when technology only really caught up, you know, in the kind of late 90s for the Challenger and for all the other ones, you know, to basically stop, you know, a spaceship or whatever you want to call it, you know, burning up. I mean, here's Elon Musk, one of the cleverest people in the world with, you know, massive amounts of money to burn, literally. And he can just about manage now to get a rocket to land back on Earth again to make it reusable. But even he hasn't gone to the moon yet. So I'm wondering, how was it possible? Or was it possible?
Should stop going to moon. Stopped going to the moon in the late 70s. It was just like, ah. And then they tried to say, like, let's go back again in the late 90s. And the line from NASA is, we've lost the technology to do that.
Yeah, how did they lose it? I heard that. They lost the technology. They just lost it.
I think there's a whole political background to that where they needed to get to the moon before the Russians. And if they didn't, they were losers. Losers. Okay. Yeah.
This was the famous speech by JFK, which was, we choose to go to the moon in this decade, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. Isn't that, wasn't that the line?
Really hard. yeah. And it was do you know that NASA burns $180 million a day of taxpayer money?
Wow.
Just existing.
Yeah, I'm sure Elon Musk is burning just as much of it, by the way. Can I just point out?
Yeah, but he's at least on the private side. This is like a public service that's run by literally Nazis, or founded by literally Nazis. Like, so there's a thing called Operation Paperclip. I don't know if you've heard of it, where after the war, there was too many really useful Germans with really good scientific research that had been conducted on Jewish people and, you know, gypsies and the handicapped. And we're like, well, we can't let it go to waste by just executing these lads in The Hague or whatever. We're going to have to take them into our industries and our engineering corps. And, you know, so the Operation Paperclip was like Russia and American governments went in and they, you know, like when you're in a football match and you pick, you're on my team, you're on my team. And they just picked all the German scientists and brought them over. And lads like Wernher von Braun, who's the head of NASA, was like one of the top Nazis.
But getting back to the actual moon landing itself, right? So, so if it didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
You've got four people who know an awful lot about it. Because, well, they're all dead now. You got four people. So surely, like you just said earlier on, just before they die, go on off and get a piece of paper and a pen. I'm going to give you all the information. Surely they would have been dying to tell somebody, you know, that it didn't actually happen. I mean, surely Neil Armstrong, you know, would want to tell people, or somebody would want to tell somebody who, there had to be other people involved. This is the problem with a conspiracy, you know, or where you set something up. There has to be other people involved. So surely somebody's going to blow the cover, blow the whistle.
Well, my answer to that lately has been, why is nobody talking about Epstein's Island then? If there's that many people involved, how did P. Diddy get away with all that stuff for so long without anyone saying that? And then you go and look, and there's been loads of people saying loads of stuff. You know, the stuff with Drake, the stuff with all these very famous people that are dealing with people like of the public that could come out and cancel them at any moment, especially with all the Me Toos and all that stuff. Like, it's very easy to go and make an accusation. Why wouldn't Buzz Aldrin come out and say, hey, we never went to the moon? There's kind of like footage of him in interviews saying, yeah, we never went there. But kind of in a conversational way. Anytime Neil Armstrong was interviewed, he was only interviewed for the first couple of years and then he didn't make any public appearances. And there's like three videos on YouTube where he's asked about the moon landing and he breaks down in tears in front of everybody. Like, actually starts like roaring, crying and has to be excused. the three lads, when they were doing their post-landing interview press conference, they're asked about the stars and they're asked about this and that. They don't answer about the stars. They were the furthest humans from the Earth. They wouldn't have been able to see further into space than anyone else ever in history. And they didn't do any, like, you know, astronomical explorations, because they'd have to make up stuff that would be later proven to be wrong because they never went up there, you know. So they just kept their mouth shut.
So what was the debunk theory for I saw that in one of the videos, that there they are on this landscape where you can actually see, you know, the landscape and you can see the horizon, and yet it's black. There's not a star in sight. You'd imagine there's no clouds, clear sky. Why can't you see stars?
Yeah.
So what was the debunk theory? What was the reasoning for not having stars? I'm assuming they had a debunk theory.
Yeah, that the aperture of the camera, so if there's very bright light, you have to, like, stop it down, it's called, so you have to turn down how much brightness goes into the lens, because the surface of the moon was so bright because it was being shone on directly by the sun.
Okay.
So, like, when you turn the amount of light, it makes the star light very dim and then obviously invisible. But, like, there's loads and loads and loads, like, there's hundreds of, like, video and pictorial, like, evidence that nerds have gone into and looked in, like there's a rock that has B written on it and a plus, so it looks like a movie.
Seen that, yeah.
You know, all of the materials that were made, the science of how they got up into the air, and there's a brilliant movie called
Capricorn.
A Funny Thing Happened on the Moon.
Oh no, did you, I seen that one as well, but did you see Capricorn 1, which I thought was brilliant?
No, I didn't see that one.
Okay, people should watch Capricorn 1. It's years old. It's probably a 1980s movie, kind of late 1990s or mid 1990s, but it's a great movie. And it's based on the fake moon landing, and why.
Well,
they
this funny thing funny thing happened is like a piece by piece, like item by item dissection of what happened, and basically going like, and that's bullshit, like, and every there's a piece of footage caught, and this was the clincher for me, where they're trying to do this like optical illusion where they're seeming like they're really, really far away from the Earth. But what they've done is they put the camera in the back of the spaceship and they have the Earth in the window and all the lights are turned off. So they were in like Earth orbit, but they didn't go very far. And, they're faking how far away they are. And there's all these like, all the audio clips all got released as part of like public domain, and people combed through them and they found out like, on such and such a date, they were supposed to be 180,000 kilometers away, but the telemetry says they were like blah, 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 this far away. So with the gift of time and the internet and the amount of people that are able to investigate it and technology and AI to scrape through all this stuff, like it's very doubtful.
Okay.
But again,
how's the podcast going? I mean, I'm looking now, you know, upcoming episodes, season 9 is on the way. For those who are interested, I'm just going to read it out here because I know loads of people are interested in conspiracies. The Manhattan Project, Chernobyl, Nikola Tesla. I love the story of Nikola Tesla, by the way. You know he was robbed of radio, don't you? Of course, everybody says Marconi was the inventor of radio. Technically, he wasn't. It was Nikola Tesla. And by the way, can I just say, I'm going to give Nikola Tesla the nod for Wi-Fi as well, because that was kind of his idea, really, wasn't it?
Absolutely it was.
Yeah.
Wireless electricity was robbed often too.
Yeah,
they wanted to use the copper, you know?
Yeah, Planned Parenthood, of course, for those interested in the abortion debate, Lucifer, the fallen angel. Also, you got Watergate, the Magdalene Laundries, Pablo Escobar and the Medallion Cartel, the Chinese Cultural Revolution, JFK Revisited, and the Las Vegas shooting are all on the way in season 9. It sounds like a joy for the conspiracy theorists of this world. I'd say they get so excited by your show, Gordon. It's a wonderful show. I've listened to it a few times, the podcast, and it's just the amount of work, by the way, that you put in blows my mind that you put into every episode. How long does it take you to compile one episode?
One episode of 7 hours takes about 150 hours of work. That includes like reading, writing about 12,000 or 15,000 words of notes, recording for 10 hours with comedians from all over the country, and then editing us, publishing us, promoting us. So you know yourself, like you're at it yourself. It's no easy task. And I'm doing it solo as well, so it takes that bit that bit extra.
Yeah, but the difference in my podcast and yours is mine is live, so that's it. It's just the hour and a half, 2 hours, because it's live and it's happening there and then. I don't get back to go back to edit it again. But you, of course, have to put an awful lot of research into every single thing you do. And I know you have video clips and, you know, footage and documents and all sorts of things. So it's an incredible podcast. Yeah. And it's going really well, by the way.
Everything's on the website, and, 50 million downloads can't be wrong.
No, 50 million people can't be wrong. So, what? By the way, just tell people the website. You can get it on Spotify, by the way, as well. It's called Those Conspiracy Guys. But, I mean, what is your website again? What is the website I can go directly to?
ThoseConspiracyGuys.com, and there's loads of articles and stuff and support and kind of documents and videos and clips and this and that, and links to documentaries and books that I read and used to research for the episodes and stuff like that. So some people want to go deeper, and there's way more than just the 6 or 7 hours that we do in the show. Like, it's like reading a book, but we're having to crack while doing it.
Yeah.
It's deep, and it's long, and it's wide.
Yeah.
And some people like that. Some people are not
okay.
able.
Just before you go, what's your personal, don't go into it in too much detail, but what's your personal conspiracy?
Okay. My personal one?
Yeah.
It's probably that the CIA are out to change the public opinion, and Trump is going to win the election, and possibly, Lord of Mercy, he won't now, but I say they're going to do their best to keep him out.
Right.
Because they are losing control. Oh, and also, aliens are real.
You might as well just throw that in there. By the way,
what
about the lizard people? Are they real?
The who?
The shapeshifters and the lizard people.
I don't think lizard people, but definitely interdimensional aliens. They're not from outer space, neither from interspace. They're all around us all the time.
Oh,
the Miami, did you see that in the Miami Mall? Like, 9-foot creatures appeared, and they called 2,500 cops to come and take them down.
I seen those videos on TikTok. Now, they can't be real, are
crazy.
They?
Yeah, they are real. Crazy. There's hundreds of witnesses, and like 2,500 Florida cops showed up.
I thought they were, when I seen those videos on TikTok, now I'm going over time because I'm interested, but I saw those videos on TikTok of, you know, these huge aliens and cops everywhere, cop cars everywhere. I thought they were making a movie.
No, they said it was 150 youths having a knife fights, and they had to have that many cops to take care of them. But really,
now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.